Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is the Rappahannock Area Health District in this morning, and Valerie Hobson-Bell is here, the Health Equity Specialist. Valerie, good to have you here this morning.
Thank you, Ted. It's good to be here.
And in this position, you've been a frequent guest over the years and a bunch of other positions, and here you are.
But you know, they're all kind of connected. I'm still advocating for people. Now I'm advocating for people who live in the marginalized areas.
We're going to get into that this morning because that's an area that maybe a few years ago we didn't talk about with a show like this, and so we'll get into that. Also, Nathan Cass is back, a senior nurse for a communicable disease.
Yeah, absolutely. Get that right? Yes, sir. Yes, you did. It's good to be back on here. You know, it's getting up on summertime, so we've got some good information about, you know, how to protect yourself from illnesses related to, you know, maybe keeping food at cookouts, maybe some keeping ticks off you, that kind of thing. So just got some good summertime information for everybody.
I look forward to that, Nathan, just because so much of us, I think we all need to review this kinds of things, especially, I know, just going through the woods, mm-hmm. or just even around your house, you can pick up things.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And we're gonna get into all of that this morning, too, with a couple of various good topics with the Rappahannock Area Health District. Valerie, I'll start off with you. Just health equity, as your that's your title. Let's talk about first what that is.
So, as I mentioned before, it really is looking at the social determinants of health, all of those things that affects each of our lives. For some of us, they're on the positive side. But for others, you know, we look at categories such as race, class, religion, all those things that affect who we are. And a lot of times it does cause some discrimination to be shown towards those folks. And so those are the people within healthcare that I'm trying to help address.
Do you work with people within healthcare? I guess you deal with probably people within healthcare and also outside of healthcare. I mean, you're covering a wide area, I would think.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, we're doing things from looking at Black maternal health and the infant rates, which is three times, they face death, three times the rate of their Caucasian counterparts, all the way to drug or harm reduction, you know. So those are two ends of a spectrum that I cover. So it's never a boring day.
No, I was going to say that, and I'm sure you're dealing in looking at issues and statistics both locally and nationally.
That's right. And, you know, that's what the health department can really bring is the statistics to everything. We keep track of the numbers. So when I sit on these different boards and committees, I'm bringing what's really happening in the local area.
Are you finding, Valerie, that as you talk about these issues, that for some people this is something that they haven't thought about, or it's the first time that they've considered this?
Absolutely, that's what I'm seeing, and it does surprise me. But at the same time, I see it as a challenge to get, you know, those voices over to people so that they can look at things in a different way. So.
And it does matter. These are issues that do matter.
Absolutely, it matters. I mean, everybody's health should be important, and I think to everybody. So this is very important, you know, that we all are allowed or given the same opportunity to become healthy.
Valerie Hobson Bell is a health equity specialist with the Rappahannock Area Health District, and we will continue to talk to her this morning. Also, Nathan Katz is here. Nathan, this is the first time I've seen you. When you were last here, it was COVID time, and we were right in the throes of all of that. I am sure with what you do day in, day out, you all have to be happy at the health district that you've kind of all gone back to kind of the jobs you were doing before COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, well, in my case, I was actually hired with the health district like right at the beginning of COVID. So this is more getting to experience things the way they should have been for me. But I know for a lot of my colleagues, it's a return to normalcy. But yeah, I mean, we're still keeping an eye on COVID, as far as statistics go. We're still offering, COVID vaccination boosters for people who want them. But overall, our work is really getting back to normal, really getting back to, to our normal processes, like back to school vaccinations, community events, things like that.
Nathan Katz is here. Valerie Hobson Bell here. The Rappahannock Area Health District. Our focus will continue on after this break on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions. We've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Rappahannock Area Health District, our focus this morning. Nathan Katz is here, Valerie Hobson Bell here from the Health District. Nathan, you mentioned in one of the things, we've got lots of seasonal things to talk to you about. And like you said, one of them is just dealing with food and that kind of thing. It's picnic time or it's time to keep food out, and that can cause some problems.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that people, we all love to do, have a cookout, have a picnic, people bring in lots of different food dishes. And it's really important, to make sure you're keeping that food at a safe temperature right up until you serve it. So, keep your hot foods as hot as you can, keep your cold foods as cold as you can. Obviously that means you want to keep them separate. The FDA has really good pointers on like good temperature ranges to keep your foods. But generally speaking, like if you made some pork barbecue or something ahead of time and you're bringing it to an outdoor event, you want to keep that in some sort of an insulated cooler, maybe with some towels to keep that heat in to prevent bacteria from growing. By the same token, if you make like some potato salad or macaroni salad or something, keep that in a separate cooler with some ice so that it keeps it as cold as possible. And you want to do that right up until the moment you start serving it. Because as soon as the food gets out of that safe range, you're going to have, bacteria start to grow. And, a lot of times that bacteria is harmless and you're not really going to notice it. But there are definitely some types of bacteria out there that can make you very sick. And that's one of the things that we investigate at the health department is, when doctors report to us, oh, this person, came down with salmonella or giardia or any of these other stomach illnesses. We, interview these people and try to track down, where might this illness have come from? And a lot of times, sometimes it's poultry or pets or something, but a lot of times it's, I ate some food that may have been off. So with the warmer weather coming out and people doing a lot of more outdoor activities, it's just an important reminder that folks need to pay attention to how they're storing and handling their pre-prepared food. Obviously, if you're out and about and you got a grill, you're cooking some burgers, you can take them right off the grill, put them on a bun, serve them up, not a big deal. But pre-prepared food that's going to be sitting for a while before you eat it, very important that you keep that at a safe temperature so that we don't end up with a bunch of people from your cookout getting sick.
On that, one of the things, and especially when you are cooking out, and if you, these digital thermometers you can use now are just so easy. You just them in, and they are just the most terrific thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So you can get those the instant read probe thermometers. You stick them in, within a few seconds, you got a temperature. Great for steaks and roasts and things like that. You can get those probe thermometers with a wire, or even some of them have wireless now. When you're cooking something like a pork butt for some barbecue or a beef brisket, you know, monitor the temperature. But a lot of people don't really think of the fact you can use that even when you're not cooking. You can use it, you know, stick it in, you know, stick a probe in your potato salad and you know, keep the little readout outside the bin so you can see, oh, this is what temperature my potato salad is at, or this is what temperature the barbecue is at, and you've got a real-time reading of where you're at as far as that safe temperature goes.
What a great idea, because you don't want to just kind of guess, and if you're wondering, has this been out long or been out too long, you can do that.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. You can always do a spot check, you know, if you've just got a little probe thermometer, but if you got one of the wired ones, you know, like I said, you can leave that in to monitor. But definitely before you serve the food, do a spot check and make sure that things are still at a safe temp.
I've never had food poisoning. Knock on wood. I don't want to have to email you this weekend and say, hey, guess what, Nathan? Guess what happened? But I know people that this not only is are you miserable, but it's dangerous. You can become a dangerous thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One of the biggest risks with food poisoning is dehydration and messing up what's called the electrolytes in your body. You might be familiar with that term if you've, you know, seen Gatorade commercials.
Sure.
And basically electrolytes are salts that your body uses to help regulate different processes, especially related to like your heart. And you can lose them when you're sweating or exercising. You know, that's how all the Gatorade marketing works. But if you're vomiting or having diarrhea, that's another way that your body will lose a lot of electrolytes. And if, you know, most people can handle a little bit of illness and they can recover okay. But for children and the elderly, it definitely is more important to pay attention. But anybody, if they get a bad enough case of like salmonella or something, can end up needing to go to the hospital. One of the things people can pay attention to is if you feel like you've gotten food poisoning, you know, keep an eye on how many times you're going to the bathroom and, you know, try to keep some, you know, Gatorade or even better, something like Pedialyte, and just drink a little bit of that, you know, throughout the course of your illness, interspersed with water, so that not only are you keeping your hydration up, but you're replenishing some of those electrolytes. And obviously if it's not stopping, you know, after a day or so, you want to call your doctor and see if there's something else that needs to be done, you know, whether or not that needs, you know, some more specific hydration or if they want to prescribe you some antibiotics or what have you, you know, just keep an eye on those things.
Interesting. Don't let it, if it does start to become like, if it does this linger, and especially if, like you say, if you're younger or older.
Yeah, yeah. No, if you have a young child, like an infant, or an elderly person, you don't want to wait, you know, a day or so for that. You want to be in touch with a pediatrician or a doctor, you know, after just a couple hours. Once you realize, oh, this isn't a virus, this might be something I ate or something,
yeah.
Be on the ball for that, because those individuals are going to be a lot more sensitive to fluctuations in their body's, you know, fluid and electrolyte levels, and are a lot more susceptible to long-term injury.
This time of year, when it is, as we deal with the heat and humidity too, I guess it's important, like you say, to either have Gatorade or even better yet, water. Make sure that you've got you're staying hydrated.
Yeah, absolutely. So when people are outside, you know, mowing the lawn, exercising, whatever they're doing, if you're outside sweating a lot, it's super important to stay hydrated. For most people, you're fine. Just drinking plenty of water and kind of keeping on with that. If you are like doing extreme, you know, or very long workouts, like maybe you're hiking or backpacking or you're, you know, doing, you know, mowing like your lawn and your neighbor's lawn and their neighbor's lawn. If you're outside like for a long period of time doing a lot of sweating, then you do want to be interspersing, you know, probably. My rule of thumb, and this is just my personal kind of way I do things, is, you know, for every three bottles of water, drink a half a bottle of Gatorade. You don't need a ton of Gatorade or anything like that. They've got tons of sugar in them, so you don't want to be chugging that. You just want enough to kind of top off your electrolytes and make sure you're not getting into a danger zone with that. If you If you're coming inside after you've been exercising, a lot of times people will, you know, go to the restroom and notice their urine will be darker. That's right. Telling you you're a little dehydrated. So you want to make sure you drink plenty of water to get that. You know, your urine should be a healthy color, you know, straw colored, you know, and things like that. But yeah, you don't want to overindulge in these sport electrolyte drinks. You really don't need that much. You know, just the things to look out for are making sure you're drinking plenty of water. If you start feeling muscle cramps, that can be a sign you maybe need a little bit of that Gatorade, because that can be a sign of those salt issues.
So what was your thing again about the balance between water and Gatorade?
Yeah, so it's like, you know, so before I was a nurse, one of the jobs I had had me outside, you know, for pretty much 8 hours a day, especially during the summer months. And I would keep a big jug of water. And throughout the course of that 8 hour shift, I would drink, you know, I would get that big jug of water. It was like a gallon jug. I'd go through about the whole thing over the course of the 8 hour day. And I'd drink, you know, one, maybe one and a half of the normal size bottles of Gatorade in that time. Not the big, like liter size bottles, things like that. You don't need that much. It's got too much sugar.
Oh, the sugar is it's incredible.
It's comparable to a Coke. You know, you don't need that much.
Yeah.
But you do want those fluid and electrolytes. Pedialyte is even better than Gatorade, but it is more expensive. So I don't really recommend that unless you're like, it's really good for young children. It's much more balanced as far as the electrolytes it offers. But for most people, if you're doing strenuous outdoor exercise, your primary hydration should be water with a little bit of supplement of an electrolyte drink.
Nathan Kasser from the Rappahannock Area Health District. Great, great stuff. You need to become show nurse when we have these topics to talk about. Yes. This is great information.
I mean, I'm happy to come on anytime you want to have me. You know, you just reach out to the district and they'll put in touch with me and we can always work something out.
That's great. That was just great stuff. Nathan Kasser from the Rappahannock Area Health District. Valerie Hobson Bell also here with the Rappahannock Area Health District, the health equity specialist. Valerie, there are a couple of events coming up that the community should know about. I mean, the two that come to mind, and you can elaborate on them and anything else, but Pride Month and Juneteenth are coming up.
And we're going to have tables at both. So Juneteenth is going to be over at the baseball field, of course. And, you know, that's to honor our past. And then we have Pride, which is really an honor for the future. So, you know, it's just embracing our different cultures. And for the month of Pride, there is a list of activities going on. One that I am working with Fajas and Fredericksburg Pride, is the Pride Prom. It is this Saturday at 7:00. And it's at Waters Inn Brewery. Waters Inn Brewery.
Where's that at?
June 10th on Caroline Street.
Oh, okay.
525.
Yeah.
Caroline Street. Yeah. So the prom is 7 to 10. It actually starts at 6:00 with a social hour, if you will. But dancing and all of that will start at 7.
Like you say, Juneteenth is a historical note because that goes back to Texas and the end of slavery, and has just really in recent years gotten a lot more attention.
Exactly. But, you know, that just shows me that as we move along, we learn better, we do better. And so we learn about the ravages of that time and how the rest of the world knew that slavery had ended, but those folks did not, and they just kept working as such.
Yeah. So that's and then so that I has become a big local event.
It has.
The Pride Prom again is this Saturday.
This Saturday.
And then there's the March, and
which
then the downtown
is the 24th.
That's
right. Correct. So it's going to be the March and then the actual Pride Festival, which is in Old Mill Park Terrace. I'm sorry, Old Mill Park. And last year, it was amazing. It was very successful. So we hope people come out with the right state of mind, you know, that you're just going to be open to other people's lifestyle. They are not there to harm anyone. It is just to show who they are and be proud of it. So,
and you mentioned the health district. Well, they have a table there, and the health district reaching out to all parts of the community.
That's correct. You know, we are there to help educate everyone, and better health care comes with education. And so we're going to have a table where we'll have handouts. We're actually going to be giving out the Narcan. What is the name?
Yes. So Narcan, Naloxone.
That's it.
It's the drug that can be administered if somebody's suspected to have an opioid overdose and to reverse the effects of that.
So we'll actually have a trained person from our district who will be giving out that training and handing out Narcan, as well as our harm reduction committee. They will have a table there, and that's just a compilation of various agencies, community services boards, some private therapists, and treatment centers, and we're on there as well.
There's too much to even get into it today, but Narcan and opioids and fentanyl, and there are just such issues that every community is dealing with, and unfortunately it's come here.
Yeah, absolutely. Nationwide there's been an increase in opioid overdoses. You know, I'm not an expert in that particular field, but my understanding is a lot of it is that drug dealers and suppliers are cutting, different drugs with other drugs. Why they do that, I guess, financial, whatever. End result is that people are overdosing unintentionally. Yeah. You know, they take what they think is their normal dose of a drug, of heroin or whatever that is that they're using, and finding out that it's been contaminated with something else that's much more potent. So really there's been a push to make Naloxone, which is the generic term for Narcan, available to more people. It's available without a prescription. You can get it from a pharmacy, and it's something that's a very good tool for people, that are in communities of people that may be more involved with drug use. It's important, to realize that there is no side effect to Narcan. If you give it to somebody who isn't having an opioid overdose because you think that's what they're having, it will not harm them in any way.
Okay, because you hear that. That was that concern.
Yeah, no, it is completely harmless if it's administered to a person who is having some other issue. It's very easy to administer. The training for it is to use it is very simple. It's literally just a spray. You stick the nozzle in the person's nose and press, and there it goes. It takes effect within just a few seconds. Really, the main thing people need to realize is that it isn't a permanent. It doesn't permanently, it's not an antidote. If somebody's having an opioid overdose and you use Narcan, you still need to call 911. Still need to get them treatment because the Narcan will wear off. After an amount of time, I think it lasts between 30 minutes and an hour. You can administer another dose of it if it starts to wear off, but you do still need to get that person help so that they can be managed until the opioids are out of their system.
Okay.
Well, and I just want to point out that all of our health departments will have a day where they're going to distribute the Narcan. So please look at our website or call your local health department to ask what day it is. But we're starting to actually distribute that. And I know there's a lot of people out there that says, nobody in my family uses drugs. I don't need this. But you do. It could be your neighbor. It could be your mailman. It could be anyone that happens along your path. So on our harm reduction committee that I spoke about, we have two peers. One was a bank vice president, and the other one was an acting EMT specialist, and no one knew they were using. Huh. It was pills that they were using, and it could happen in front of any of us.
Yeah.
So just have it and be ready.
Yeah. Good information. I learned a couple of things already today that I did not know about that, about having to, that it does wear off. I thought you took it and you were okay. So good information. Rappahannock Area Health District here this morning. Nathan Cass is here along with Valerie Hobson Bell. Quick break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:33.
Okay, listen. We got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Rappahannock Area Health District. Good stuff this morning with Valerie Hobson Bell and Nathan Cass as we talk about things. We're talking about ticks in a few minutes. So if you're out this summer, listen into that, and we'll get into that with Nathan in a few minutes. Valerie, we were talking about a number of things that you're involved with as the health equity specialist. Black maternal and infant health disparities. Talk about that, because that I know is an issue we're hearing more and more about.
It is. You know, I'm very happy to say that Virginia was the fourth state to make community doulas payable under Medicaid. And so one of my jobs is to get that awareness out, to teach people that doulas are kind of advocates for those who are pregnant, but they also help you create a birth plan and teach you how to advocate for yourself. And so by doing that within that delivery room, we can save more mothers and babies. We don't know what that issue is, where that disconnect is, why it's so many Black mothers and babies who are dying. But money is really not the issue, because we read in articles that Serena Williams, one of the wealthy women in the country,
right,
she too had the very same issues. So there's something about the Black voice not being heard or captured within the medical realm. And so we're trying to teach people how to advocate for themselves better. So we had a kickoff a couple of weeks ago where we showed a screening of a documentary on birthing justice. And from there, we're now putting together a steering committee,
okay,
which will consist of doulas. We're hoping to get at least one nurse on there, but we also want a few people who are of birthing age, as well as one or two high school students, because they tend to get information out better. You know, us old folks are not as good at using all of the social media platforms.
Right.
So we just need to get this information out there so that we all can learn that there is a service that can help. And for those who are on Medicaid, it's now being covered. So that's great.
It must be, as you look at this, though, it must be a challenge if you're looking at somebody that didn't get through to somebody like Serena Williams.
Absolutely.
How do we do it?
You know, I keep saying it is from back in the day with G.I. Joe. As we know better,
yeah,
we do better. And so we actually train people to understand their own bodies and understand what it takes to get the help that they need. One example I like to use, it's a true story, and it came out of Richmond, where a doula was in the birthing room with this one woman, and she was bleeding after the birth of her baby. Well, the doctors thought that they were going to have to move to an immediate, when you take everything out.
A hysterectomy.
Hysterectomy, thank you.
And it's good thing we have Nathan here. We need sometimes
the nurse.
You need the nurse.
And so they literally were about to do that when the doula insisted that they listen to her, that this woman's fibroid was actually 9 centimeters or something, and the doctors had it listed as 2. And the doctor said, no, our records show that it's only 2, so we're not worried about that. That doula kept pushing to the point where they did look at it, mm-hmm. and that's what was causing all of the bleeding. So this doula actually helped this woman not go to such an extreme, since she was young and, you know, birthing children. So those are the kind of things that doulas can do. They do not deliver the baby.
Right.
That's the midwife or, you know, the doctor. But they're in there as a voice for them.
This is a big area that you're dealing with. We talk about this, and but there are also there are a lot of other issues out there that go back centuries.
And that's the truth. And when you talk about going back centuries, if you look at it, it used to be the midwives and then their assistants, which could have been doulas, but they didn't have a name then,
right,
that actually did deliver most babies. And so we're just going back to what we know from years ago. So, but it's that education, because now if you know, then you educate your children as they come up to the use of what doulas can do. And so it does help overall. And actually, there's a lot of hospital systems that has looked at that, and they're now doing a team approach. They're having doulas in the delivery room with the doctors. So, you know, again, the doctors are starting to recognize it and respect it, and the pregnant mother mm-hmm. is using it.
With what you do, Valerie, as a health equity specialist, I mean, do you go around and give, do you give talks or work in educate various parts
Absolutely.
Of the community?
I try to do that right now because it's only one of me. Now you can't be everywhere.
Yeah.
But if I can affect different committees of people, then they can go out and share the word as well. So that's what we're trying to do with our steering committee. Is build it up and get publicity out there, as well as talking to one another.
Yeah.
So
just education, getting the word out on some of these things.
Absolutely.
Valerie Hobson-Bell here this morning from the Rappahannock Area Health District, along with Nathan Cass, a senior nurse for communicable disease. As we talk about disease in this time of year, you can't go you can hardly go anywhere around here without encountering a tick.
Yeah, absolutely. So over the last couple of years, Virginia has become what we call a high incidence state for Lyme disease. So it's really important that people, you know, are protecting themselves as best they can when they're working around outside, you know, going on walks, even just working in the yard, or interacting with their pets. You know, your pets can pick up a tick and it can crawl right onto you. So when you're going outside, you know, the best thing you can do is obviously you can use some bug spray. But it's also important to do things like, when possible, you know, wear long pants and mm-hmm. tuck the cuffs of those pants into your socks. That'll help prevent, you know, the ticks from having a way to get onto you. Cause a lot of times somebody might, you know, brush up against a plant, get a tick on their leg, not even notice it. You know, frequently they'll go places like the back of the knee or in the groin, and
okay.
you won't know they're there until they've already bitten you and started to get kind of big. At that point, if you know, you could be exposed to an illness. If you do find a tick on you, you know, you want to make sure you can safely remove it. It's not really best practice to like grab tweezers and try to pull at it. That'll detach it. But what can happen is sometimes the head of the tick is actually inside your skin. And when you pull on it, the head may break off and remain in the skin, and that can lead to an infection.
Ooh, okay.
Not good. So what you want to do is you want that tick to come out. You know, you want the tick to want to come out.
Yeah.
So
how do you do that?
So I know last time I was on your show, I talked about my granddad's tried and true method. He'd strike a match and then put that match out, and then put the hot match head up on the body of the tick, and that'll get that tick to back out.
My grandmother did that to me.
Yeah, it's quite effective as far as getting the tick out. We don't necessarily recommend it because you can burn yourself. But it will work. The preferred method is to take something like Vaseline or petroleum jelly and dab some of that onto the tick so it's completely covered, and
yeah.
That'll block the tick's ability to breathe. They breathe through little holes in their body because they've got their head stuck in your skin. You block that up, and they're going to try to back out, you know, so they can get to an area where they can breathe. So you put that on there. Most of the time, within a minute or two, that tick will pop right out, and you can grab them with some tweezers and flush them down the toilet, whatever you're going to do with them.
How long do you have? Because they always recommend, you know, when you first come back to look. Is there like a time limit?
So, you know, really the potential for exposure, you know, to an illness or a pathogen exists the moment you get bitten. The longer the tick remains on your body, the greater that risk becomes.
Yeah.
Now, as far as like Lyme disease, not all ticks are known to carry it. The ones that are most likely are those Lone Star ticks. They're really, really tiny. You know, you can look up pictures of them online. They're brown with a little white spot on their back. But any tick has the potential to carry an illness. So as soon as you identify one that's bitten you, you want to get it out as soon as possible. The other thing you want to do is once you get that tick out, you want to mark the spot. You know, get like a little permanent marker, like a fine tip marker, draw mm-hmm. a little tiny circle around the bite. And then check that spot every day, because one of the hallmark signs of a potential Lyme disease infection is that bullseye rash,
right? Where
you've got the red spot in the middle, and then it kind of fades, and then you've got a red ring, you know, around that. So you want to make sure you know where on your body you got bitten so you can keep an eye on that. If you do start to identify, oh, I've got this rash, or maybe I have some body aches, you know, go talk to your doctor. They can run some blood tests and see if you may have been infected. And it's fairly simple treatment. You can take some antibiotics. I know there's some individuals who do have some long-term health consequences, especially with Lyme disease compared
right.
to some other tick-borne illnesses. But for most people, a course of antibiotics will clear it up, especially if you identify it pretty soon after symptoms, you know, come in.
Like you say, be careful, and even if you're dealing with the heat and humidity, if you're going to be in the woods,
yeah,
be careful with that.
Absolutely, you know, really, it's best practice to, as soon as you finish with your outdoor activities for the day, whether that's a hike or mowing the lawn or whatever you're doing, you know, come inside. You know, whether you want to go in the bathroom, where there might be a mirror, but you know, take off your clothes and you know, inspect your body and make sure you're identifying where there are ticks. And
yeah.
people don't always realize that, you know, depending on what you were wearing when you went outside, if you were outside like in flip flops or sandals, check between your toes and the soles of your feet.
Ticks, really?
Ticks will bite wherever they can get a meal.
huh.
You know, so you know, and like I said, some of these ticks, they're very, very small. So you want to make sure you look up, you know, a picture of what you're looking for and, you know, just kind of look everything over. Same thing if you were outside with your pets, you know, you can give your pets flea and tick medicine, and that'll help prevent those bugs from biting your pets, you know, and causing issues. But especially with like dogs, the ticks can ride around on their fur
mm-hmm.
and they may not bite the dog, but you know, if you pick up your pup after they've been outside, you might get that tick on you. And then the tick's like, well, here's somebody who hasn't been taking their flea medicine.
Yeah.
And they'll bite you instead.
And like you say, this is not everybody. This doesn't always happen when you do get a tick bite, but Lyme disease. I've known several people that, I mean, their careers have ended. You know, they've been gotten sick enough that they've had to, you know, alter their lifestyles.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the unfortunate things about illnesses like Lyme disease is that, you know, it's very hard, if not impossible, to predict how it's going to affect you individually. You know, some people don't have those long-term consequences, but you know, some people
do. Yeah.
So the best thing you can do is prevent it. Because that, you know, if you don't get it, you're not going to have to take that gamble with what your outcome's going to be.
As you describe all this, I just want to go home every day and just run in the house and never go outside.
Yeah, I mean, so that you don't want to stress out. You know,
you do want to be careful.
You want to be careful. You know, as long as you're careful and you are diligent about, you know, doing those skin checks when you come inside. You know, that's the most important thing. You can never 100% eliminate a risk for anything in life, but you want to take a reasonable and precautious approach.
Between your toes, though. I've not heard that one.
That makes sense. They can get anywhere. I mean, it's obviously a lot less likely if you're wearing closed-toed shoes and socks and stuff. But if you're outside, you know, I know people who have gone on nature walks and hikes wearing sandals. Not something I would do.
Yeah.
If only or for the rocks. Or Crocs, yeah.
That's my issue.
And but yeah, if there's a space where a tick or another bug can get in there, and, you know, there's nothing stopping them.
They're just so small, and I know whenever I've had one, they're just terrifying. They're terrifying.
They're nasty little things. I'm not a fan.
The health district, great Facebook page, by the way, too. The Rappahannock Area Health District, a lot of information on Facebook, and you and the state health department have posted pictures of various ticks. I mean, there are a number of them around. That's the other thing. There are different sizes and different kinds of ticks.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, any tick can carry, you know, different diseases or illnesses. But most of the time, we're not worried about you know, generic, you know, whatever bacteria. It's really Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever are the two biggest ones. Rocky Mountain spotted fever is actually, at least in my experience, it's been a lot more common than Lyme disease in our area. You know, one of the things that I do is I look through our reports of illnesses that we get from the community, and just anecdotally, I've noticed that there's a lot more, you know, people with Rocky Mountain spotted fever cropping up than Lyme disease. But Lyme disease does have that association with more long-term health consequences. So it's important, you know, for people to be aware. Rocky Mountain spotted fever doesn't always have like that bullseye rash, but it can cause kind of a more generalized rash on the body. But it's also associated with, you know, sometimes a mild fever, body aches. So if you've been outside, you know, if you've been on like a camping trip or a nature hike or something, and then over the next couple of weeks, you start noticing you've got these body aches or just you're not feeling quite well, talk to your doctor. They may want to run a blood test.
Nathan Cass here, Valerie Hobson Bell here from the Rappahannock Area Health District. Quick break. We'll wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
What a great show. We are almost out of time. Thanks to Valerie Hobson Bell, Nathan Cass here this morning from the Rappahannock Area Health District. Valerie is the health equity specialist, and I guess if people have questions on these issues, come to you. And you mentioned there's the Pride Prom this Saturday.
That's correct.
And that is where at again?
That is at Waters Inn Brewery on Caroline Street. You do need to purchase a ticket. You can do that online through FAHAS or Fredericksburg Pride.
And there's Pride, the event in downtown Fredericksburg on the 24th.
That's correct. So it's going to be a march and then a festival.
And then Juneteenth is fast coming up.
That's, I think that's June 17th, if I'm correct.
It is. Okay. I think so. Nathan Cass, great stuff with you. The ticks and the food, and we didn't even get into mosquitoes, but again, just take care of yourself this summer.
Absolutely. Just stay safe, you know, and make sure you're aware of the risks and hazards, and have a great summer.
Thank you to both. Thanks for coming in. We'll do this again soon. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Nathan Cass, Valerie Hobson Bell, check out the Rappahannock Area Health District Facebook page. Lots of great information. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.